before the crowd. And think with me. Amelia Earhart, Rosa Parks, Marie Antoinette, Harriet Tubman, Cleopatra, Joan of Arc, Mother Teresa. These are some of the most famous women in the world. I'm curious, do you have any that I have not mentioned? Someone?
Oprah.
The reason that they laugh at you, Pastor, is because she hasn't stood the test of time yet. I think she has to die first, but I appreciate that. Anyone else? Anyone else? These are some of the most famous women in all of history. And maybe you've heard of some of them, maybe you've heard of all of them. Not that fame is the goal, but none of them are more famous than Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I don't know if any of these other women have what Mary has. There's something about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, that we can all appropriate for ourselves because God offers it to all of us. That's the peace that transcends all understanding. This is what we pray. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I mean, that he came and that we have the hope of his return and being renewed and restored and fixed through all of that which is broken and fallen about us, Lord God. This is a season of great hope, and we should appropriate and could appropriate the peace that you do offer to all of us. I ask, Lord God, that the words that you have been used this morning in the words of your word be persuasive, that one would come to know you and entrust their lives to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. First thing, before the virgin birth of Christ, Mary was at peace with God. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 48. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." My soul glorifies is deeply personal. My soul glorifies. It indicates that Mary, with all her heart and mind and soul and strength, willfully acknowledges and praises and surrenders and glorifies the Lord. You can say that my soul glorifies is Mary speaking to God, praising his name. And being young didn't prevent Mary from having a sense of self, from knowing herself and owning herself enough to give herself away to God, to surrender to God. And even before this wonder, this God-man, man-God, this Messiah appeared in her virgin womb, Mary had an undivided heart. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That which is of God within Mary, her human spirit, speaking to God who is God outside of Mary, the Holy Spirit, and as spirit calls out to spirit, the irresistible grace of God compels Mary to willfully glorify and to involuntarily rejoice in God her Savior. You see, Mary wasn't sinless. She wasn't without sin. She wasn't any holier than thy or thou before she conceived. She knew she needed a Savior and clearly had a deep, all-encompassing, all-consuming relationship with God. She was already a young woman of prayer, living in ongoing conversation and intimate fellowship with God. She was totally and completely in love with God. And when the angel Gabriel came to her, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Even though Mary was a godly young woman doing godly things, her finding favor with God was more about God's goodness than it was about any piety or righteousness or holiness Mary may have possessed. She was the recipient of God's undeserved, God's generous, God's free-flowing grace. In other words, God chose Mary before Mary chose God. And when he told her that he chose her to be the virgin the scriptures said would conceive and bear the Messiah, well, she was troubled at first, yeah. But her humble reply was in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "May it be done to me according to your word." Mary was God-centered, not self-centered. She was able to live a life surrendered to God, to be used by God whenever, wherever God wanted to use her, because she was at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? Do you desire to? Are you willing to? Are you able to live a surrendered life because you are at peace with God? Self. Self can be one of our greatest obstacles. When we live for self rather than God, we're focused on me, why me, my needs, my desires. We become prideful and self-dependent, and in the worst cases, cause pain for the people that are around us. Self is noisy. It creates a noisy mind, an anxious soul, and a heart that's cold toward God. Self, you might say, tears our peace to pieces. Friends, when a loving, holy, and gracious God calls on us to do something, to be something, to glorify his name, and we choose self instead, that's one of the biggest keys of peace that we'll ever encounter. One wise man said this: "We live in a struggle between freedoms that are in mutual conflict. A conflict between two loves, the love of God to the point of disregarding self, and the love of self to the point of disregarding God. And we're constantly facing that conflict. It is a daunting, multi-front battle that we lose more often than we care to admit." Put it another way, the songwriter says, "We are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion, choking on the fumes of selfish rage. And with these, our hells and our heavens, so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are." But listen, when we turn down the volume on self and we turn up the volume on God's word, we're reminded that God, in Christ, God lives within us. We find our home in him, and we live our lives out of that home in complete surrender to him. We take up our cross daily. We shift the focus from self to serving. And like Mary, we lavish praise on God to shift our focus outward rather than inward, allowing God's peace to quietly and certainly and generously fill our spirit. The Bible says you will keep in perfect peace talking to God. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you." Those whose minds are stayed, one version says, on thee. Mary, this woman who has less than 200 words in scriptures, shows us it's not about self, it's not about comfort, it's not about abundance. It's about receptivity to God's spirit, God's word, and God's call on our life that brings real, lasting, and certain peace. Mary was favored. And because of her predisposition to God's grace, she walked in deep, abiding fellowship with God. Before the birth of Christ, Mary was at peace with God. Secondly, at the virgin birth of Christ, Mary received peace from God. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them. If not because of piety, why did God choose Mary? Well, having come from the line of David by way of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and Boaz, according to Luke chapter 3 genealogy, her son would be qualified to wear the title Son of David. Maybe. Maybe he chose her because she was from Nazareth. This is a prophetic birthplace of the Messiah. Maybe. Maybe Joseph, the man she was engaged to, had to be in the right place, Bethlehem, at the right time. Maybe she chose him because she was with Joseph. She was a virgin too. That's why he chose her. The virgin birth, friends, effectively hopscotches a human father, bypasses inherited sin, and allow the Messiah to be born without sin, live a sinless life, die an undeserved death on the cross for the sins of the entire world. These are all fulfillments of critical Old Testament prophecies, all indicating God's work, God's purposes, God's protection, God's plan. God was with Mary. The virgin birth, friends, would be the very hinge upon which the door of time and eternity would swing open for all who believe. And close, eventually, on all who don't. And the grand announcement came to confirm that the Prince of Peace had arrived. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today is Christmas in your ear. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you," verse 11. "He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly, here's the announcement, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God on the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom his favor rests." Yes, God was with Mary at the time of Jesus' birth, and as a result, she was at rest in God's peace. Do you have a sense that God is with you when you're facing challenges? It seems anxiety has become the national pastime for us. In one report, an overwhelming 62% of Generation Z and millennials report a constant low-level anxiety that buzzes in their soul. And then they worry specifically about 2 hours a day, prime hours for productivity, creativity, and spiritual growth. They worry about something specifically. These people, and all of us, young, older, we're anxious when we're alone. We're anxious when we fall asleep. We're anxious when we wake up. And then when it comes to specific concerns, according to this report, 53% of us worry about money. It's a prime source of anxiety. 42% worry about loved ones, other people. 41% worry about our task and what we have to get done. 37% worry about health. 22% have sleep anxiety. And 19, and this seems low, 19% are concerned about political uncertainties. Your Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to rest in that. That's something about Mary we need to appropriate for ourselves. Mary rested in the peace of God. Third thing, because of the virgin birth of Christ, God's peace is available to all. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. On our foundational passage this morning, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, it's called Mary's Song in the Bible. It strongly implies that Mary's heart for God was informed by the Old Testament scriptures. The song alludes to theological concepts, biblical references, and other spiritual ideas that we would be familiar with in the Old Testament and the New. And she acknowledges the Mighty One who has done great things for her. She says, he and his mercy extend from generation to generation. He performs mighty deeds, she says. He brought down rulers and he's lifted up the humble and helped his servant Israel and kept his promise to Abraham and his descendants. And in her ponderings, in the ponderings of those same Old Testament scriptures, Mary would have been able to discern some of the things that will happen to her baby boy between their rejection at the end and his rejection at the cross. She'd easily see herself and him in Isaiah 7. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which of course means God with us. She would see him in Jeremiah 31 that his birthplace would suffer a massacre of infants. And this was fulfilled when Herod ordered that all the children in Bethlehem under 2 years old would be killed. She'd see it in Isaiah 49 that he'd be a light to the Gentiles. Psalm 41, Psalm 55, Zechariah 11, a close friend and companion will betray him. She'd see in Isaiah 53 that he'd be crucified between two thieves, and by his wounds, many would be healed. Psalm 16, that he would be raised from the dead. Daniel 7, that he would ascend to heaven on high. And as these things projected forward for Mary, and as these things and others unfolded, she wouldn't be unduly discouraged or overly amazed by them. I mean, after conceiving as a virgin, after conceiving as the virgin, the miracles, the atoning death, the resurrection, his ascension, his imminent return would be easy for her to anticipate, to accept, and to believe. And so while everybody, the shepherds and everybody that they talk to, while everybody is celebrating and making a hullabaloo of it all, and it is a great hullabaloo, don't get me wrong, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered. In her heart, there was no chariots, no trumpets, no confetti, no pomp and circumstance, no grand entrance, just the peace that transcends all understanding because she knew God would be with her no matter what she goes through. What are you going through? What are you facing right now? Loneliness? Loneliness is a killer, I'm telling you. It's God or companionship. God loses too often in that area. You're going through homelessness, job loss, financial difficulties, retirement. Matthew 6:33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all you need will be given unto you as well. You're going through a troubled marriage, chronic illness, family issues, whatever life is throwing at you right now and in the future, friends, God is with you. Death. The Bible says we stay informed about death so that we do not grieve like mankind, the rest of the world grieves. Because of His virgin birth, His sinless life, His sacrifice on the cross, and His imminent return. Listen, we just went through the book of Revelation. So we know, we understand, we believe Jesus Christ will return certain and sure. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we understand God is with us now, no matter what we're going through, and that we'll share in Jesus' victory at the end of the age when He makes His glorious return. Peace. Problem is, friends, we need to be poor enough in spirit to truly, truly believe that. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Just reading that instills a sense of peace within. How do we know we're not yet poor in spirit? Half joke, half serious. Just kidding, you know how people do that? Because we're rich in worry. That's how we know. We know that we're not poor in spirit because we're rich in worry, and we pray out of a faithless desperation all too often. We plead out of our anxiety rather than casting our anxieties on the Lord. And we can't be absent, friends, from God in prayer either. Some of us have really got to For some of us, things got to get really bad for us to go to God in prayer. We are self-sufficient. We become foxhole prayers. We pray only in a time of crisis. And then we try to make our absence in prayer favorable to God. We say, after we bow our heads, Lord, I know I haven't come to You in prayer in a couple of years. But Lord, if You'll help me this time and get me out of this, I promise I won't bother You for another couple of years. That's how a self-sufficient pray. It's that thing we do when everything else has failed and we don't pick it up again until we're in that same position again. And that's a far cry from what God had in mind when He called us to Himself. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, speaks her final words, her final recorded words, at her son's first miracle, a wedding in Cana. The host runs out of wine, and Mary approaches her son Jesus about this situation. And Jesus, after a mild and respectful objection, in Mary's final words, we find an important lesson. She says in John 2, verse 5, she turns to the servants and she says, do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you, servants of Christ. With these words, her son's public ministry began, and he turns water to wine. With these words, Mary invites all of humanity to share in the love and the grace and the peace she was given. Even Jesus said in John 14:21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And shortly after that, maybe to show us how obedience and peace are so closely related, Jesus says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And because Jesus came and will come again, we, along with the great company of the heavenly hosts that were with the angels, say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's available. It's available to all who admit that they are sinners. It's available to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's available to all who confess their sins, and it's available to all who call on his name. It's available to all who hope in his return. And I encourage you, I encourage each and every one of you, when you have the trade-off between what God has called you to do and what you desire to do for yourself, I encourage you to give peace, to give real peace a chance, the peace that transcends all understanding. Give peace a chance. That's something about Mary, Mother of Jesus, that we can all appropriate for ourselves because God offers it to all. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Make it useful for your glory. Make it useful for our hearts. Make it useful for our lives. It's in your name that we pray and say, amen.